There's the new law on climate change, prescription drug prices, and corporate tax, and then there's the process of making it happen. I'm David Brancaccio. First, the week ahead will give us a better read on the changing mood of consumers amid hints, at least, that inflation isn't getting worse. Some big retail chains will post results and reveal their outlooks. Plus, there's more. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
We'll get retail sales numbers for July from the Commerce Department on Wednesday. Consumers power 70% of the U.S. economy, so investors will be paying close attention. We'll also hear from Target on Wednesday. The company will report its earnings from April through June. A Bank of America research note says retail inventories are rising as supply chain bottlenecks are easing up, but some stores are overstocked. Home Depot and Walmart report their second quarter earnings tomorrow. Earlier this year, Target and Walmart warned that customers were pulling back on spending. Walmart said shoppers were spending more on essentials like groceries and less on clothes. Walmart CEO said stores would slash prices for clothing, but he added that he was encouraged by a good start to back-to-school shopping. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
For the second time this year, China's central bank today cut its benchmark interest rate just slightly, 0.1 percentage point. It was a surprise, with retail sales to factory numbers there showing growth is slowing. The Chinese government is still enforcing a strict zero COVID strategy aimed at not living with the virus, but eliminating it. The BBC's Zhao Da Silva has more.
The surprise cut suggests the country's economic recovery is on shaky ground. The latest data from the National Bureau of Statistics shows industrial output, a key measure of factory activity, grew only 3.8% in July from a year earlier. That's lower than the expansion recorded in the previous quarter. But China's economy is also facing other headwinds. From manufacturing centers to tourist hubs, Chinese cities continue to face strict pandemic lockdowns. There's also a deepening crisis in the property sector, traditionally a key engine of growth for the Chinese economy.
And in California, we're following a strike set to start today by thousands of psychologists, therapists, and substance abuse specialists at the health system Kaiser Permanente. They demand Kaiser bring in more people to help deliver mental health services at a time when union members say patients are waiting months for sessions. Kaiser has said the union is exploiting this time of high demand and labor shortages. Let's do the numbers. Yeah, down. Dow and S&P futures both down 0.5% with about 2.5 hours to go before things formally open for trading downtown. Cheaper is crude oil today, down nearly 4.5%, $88 a barrel. The sweeping package of measures to mitigate climate change, overhaul energy, lower the cost of medicine, and put in a corporate minimum tax is now headed to the White House for President Joe Biden's signature. The vote in the House was 220 to 207. Every Democrat went for it. Every Republican did not. For conservatives, this is seen as a low moment of wasteful spending. For many progressives, this is a high point, but it leaves much work unfinished, including perhaps someday following through on what some are calling the caring economy, including new approaches to child care. So for progressives, does a high point imply it is downhill from here? I wanted to run this past Felicia Wong, president and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute, a liberal-leaning think tank. Welcome.
Good morning, David.
So it's not just this huge package of legislation that's been in the news in recent days. There's more to what is regarded as the progressive agenda that has gotten into law.
Yeah. The big news recently, of course, is the Manchin-Schumer deal, that Inflation Reduction Act. But in addition to all of that, you know, the president signed into law the CHIPS Act, which moves $52 billion to semiconductor manufacturing in the United States. You have the bipartisan infrastructure legislation. You've still got money from that American Rescue Plan from earlier on in the Biden term. So that is a tremendous amount of policy success.
All right. So you would celebrate, but I want to be the guy to come on and ask you. It's actually a line attributed to the legendary investor John Templeton, apparently on his wedding day. If his life were a stock, he said he would sell it short, meaning it had peaked on that day. Maybe this weekend is the peak of everything that your progressive friends have ever asked for, and it can only be downhill from here, given uncertainties in the election to come?
I think you're right to ask that question for a couple reasons. First of all of that policy success that I just laid out isn't actually as much as the Democrats had wanted to do. Yeah, it's transformative, but is this actually the end of the road when there's more road that needs to be built? So a lot more needs to be done, and it's going to be a really brutal road forward, especially if you suggest if, you know, after the fall, Democrats lose one or both houses of Congress.
Right. And, you know, you pass a law, but then there's an entire other question about how actually the law is carried out.
Right. Just think about it. The executive branch is going to need to take this existing legislation and make sure that it benefits the American people across this entire very diverse, very divergent, very troubled nation. These laws are going to require new offices in the Department of Commerce, in the Department of Treasury, probably new oversight of this in the White House itself. So the question is the government really going to be able to do this? And then the second thing I would say is that the Biden administration or the Democrats actually have to tell a story of economic success. And I got to say, the Democrats don't have a great track record on storytelling. This is really an all-out effort to make the American economy work better. But I'm really worried that telling that story to an American public that flat out does not trust government is going to be a tall order.
Felicia Wong, President and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks, David. Great to be here.
And there's a little surge in mortgage refinancing as people reacted to 30-year rates falling below 5% just over a week ago, but the rate is up this week. Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.